Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. I'm here with my erstwhile colleague, Lukey Moore. You were my erstwhile colleague, but now you are my colleague, all right? So when I said that, you are my erstwhile colleague for the weekend, but now you're my weekday lover. Lukey Moore, how you doing, mate? You all right?
Not bad. And I sometimes seduce myself into thinking that this year things will be different.
And no, still here, mate. Still having to deal with this.
It's going to be the same, isn't it? It's going to be the same. How are you, more importantly? What's been going on?
I'm all right. I've made a New Year's resolution.
Oh, good.
A few days late.
That's so, okay. I mean, we're in a position now on the Monday. This is like the second Monday, well, the first if you don't include the bank holiday, where it's now like, get over yourself. Christmas is fucking long gone. Yeah. We're now in the thick of things. So I think, maybe it's a good time to do that.
I think New Year's Day being a Sunday really fucked me off. Because then you're just right back into work, aren't you? Like the next day, pretty much.
Well, you get
like,
a bank holiday for that, but I was working anyway because I had the ramble that day.
Yeah, same here.
So you know what I did? I took in a load of Pret treats for the whole team to say thanks for coming in on a bank holiday. And then the ones that were left over, I put in my bag and took home again.
Fed them to the cats.
Because I deserve it as well.
Because I deserve it. Well, I bought it. I knew there'd be more than that anyone was going to eat. And if I eat them, that's just me being a good guy.
Sorry, Charlie, have you already had a croissant? Have you already had one?
put it back in the bag.
You've got crumbs on your jumper. Put it back. What's your New Year's resolution then?
I went to the football. This isn't my New Year's resolution, but I went to the football a few years ago with Charlie, and he was astounded at this whisper you could buy that had two chunks in it, like two separate chunks, and then you can eat one of them.
Duo.
And then twist to close it.
Yeah. Duo.
So you can have one, and then twist to close it, and then have one later on, which I did, not knowing there was a thing called a twister duo. I thought it was just broken in the pack, whisper duo, I mean.
Yeah.
And I put it in my glove compartment, and it was there for months, so I could have technically eaten it. I'd gone white, like dog poo.
What are you doing?
I don't know. My New Year's resolution is, Luke, I am going to single-handedly kill the popular teenager's drink, Prime.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to kill it.
When you said my New Year's resolution is, I'm going to kill, I was starting to write down where I was at the right time. So, because this is going bad.
I could hear you typing on your keyboard. Yeah.
Go on, tell us more about that.
KSI, Logan Paul, they've made a drink. Inexplicably, they've done it 10 years after they'd become famous. I don't know why they didn't think of this sooner, because the kids have gone fucking insane for this energy drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bottle of sugar water, and they put the word Prime on it, and it's endorsed by KSI and Logan Paul, and they have drip-fed the supply to everywhere in the world, and so the kids are absolutely banana over
what's your
it. They're absolutely for that, insane for it.
So
well,
what?
My beef for that is I've got to the age of 41 and realised that I fell for all this shit back in the day, but I didn't have to, because I didn't have anyone in my life. My dad never sat me down and said, Pete, all of this is shit. You're being played. This is late-stage capitalism, and don't fall for it. You don't need that Alton Towers Nemesis drink. You don't need that. I know it tastes of blackcurrant. I know it's got a bit of licorice in there. I know it tastes delicious, and you're never going to taste anything similar to that again. But you're buying it for the pretty label.
Yeah.
So that goes double for craft ale, actually, you lads. Dickheads.
Oi, it's not fucking acceptable just because it's got alcohol in it.
Exactly. Right?
Doesn't make you adult or cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, I know it's the only thing keeping the artists alive by drawing little cute little cartoons on the front. Yeah. I realise you're the only people paying for art. I realise that.
I also, speaking of that, by the way, I felt absolutely cheated the other day because I found out for the first time that, you know the Beavertown Brewery?
Yes.
Do you know enough about it for this to be of interest? Okay, right. So the Beavertown Brewery is, they do neck oil. They do a lot of different types of beer, right?
I've had a neck oil.
Yeah. And it's a great beer and it worked really well. And it was billed as this like local brewery success story up in North London. And then it sold a stake to, I think, to Heineken. And people got pissed off about it and all the rest of it. Yeah. But then the guy came out and said, we needed the money so we could have a new brewery and all the rest of it. Then they did a kind of tie-in with Spurs because it's a local team. And it was like, oh, this is a really great like British, entrepreneurial success story, right? I did a bit of cursory research, right, which no one else seems to have done.
Do your own research.
The guy who founded it is the son of fucking Robert Plant. Is anything in Britain not nepotistic? Anything. Just give me one thing that isn't nepotistic.
It's a Nepo beer baby.
Oh, I just needed that investment from Heineken because otherwise I only had the 200 million from my dad and it started to run. Like, fucking do us a favour. Tell me one thing. I'll tell you what we should do. Here's a good idea, right? Give four people who are the sons of the most establishment rich people in Britain, right? Mm. From different sectors, and put them in charge of the NHS. Then it'll get the fucking funding, won't it?
Exactly.
Everyone will be like, oh, great, what? Who's running it? Fucking, who's running it? Jimmy Page's daughter? Yeah, yeah, just give them the money. Lad.
Yeah, I think every person who comes at a famous person should be tagged on the head saying the word liar, because at some point in their life they will say, well, I worked really hard to get where I were. You're a liar! You're a big fat liar! Liar! Liar, liar, liar! They've got to have liar written on their head in green.
Sorry, who's running the Primary Care Trust in London now? Brooklyn Beckham? Great! Brilliant!
I love his photographs and his food. Don't eat the food. Just good God.
Brooklyn Beckham could go for one lunch with the health secretary and some other fucking bean counters and get 5 extra billion a week for the NHS. Because that's how this country works.
I always liked it when my mate was he actually really now works for the NHS, but he used to be a book buyer for Asda. He used to basically be a book buyer for the supermarkets, effectively. So he would get the publishers. The publishers would turn up and go, we've got this book. And they'd go, right, Asda wants 20 copies and Tesco wants 50. Blah, blah,
blah. Why did he speak like that, like Burning Man in?
I don't really know. But he said that like the publishers would rock up with the talent who would, the subject of the autobiography or the biography. So he'd be having like dinners, swanky dinners with like, I don't know, fucking Kelly Brook or something.
Yeah.
And she'd just be bored out of her fucking skull talking to a load of nerds. And it's just an interesting little kind of...
Not the nerds you're eating.
Not the what?
Not the nerds that you eat.
Not the nerds that I'm eating. They are sugar-coated acid, it feels like. But it's just like this, it's just weird little kind of like, little bit of culture that nobody knows that celebrities have to do. They have to romance the fucking head of Asda. Please can you keep my book in your supermarket, please.
One of the big game changers about the kind of publishing industry that occurred a number of years ago was, and I think a lot of it was fueled by the internet. Well, I learned...
What a shot in its arm.
I learned a little bit about it when we did the book. And I read up on it, and a big change was that what used to happen, as far as I remember, or as far as I believe, is that these big retailers, whether it be a Waterstones or a supermarket, or whatever, they would have to put an order in for an X amount of copies of books, right? And if they didn't sell them, they just had to sell them. Like, it was like, and that's where you'd see them in Bargain Bust, and it became a bit of a skill to be a procurement or a buying expert for these places. And then what happened was the internet basically reduced the publishing industry to its fucking knees and gave the buyers, these supermarkets, these chains, these retailers, a lot more power. And they use that power to say to the publishers, we'll buy X amount of these books, but the ones we don't sell, you're going to have to take back. And yeah, the whole thing became a lot more conservative. And that's what's a lot harder, I think, to become a writer or to become a novelist or whatever, because there's just no power in the publishing industry now. Now, when I started that point, I thought it would be interesting. Halfway through, I realised it was actually quite dull. But
it is interesting.
It is in my nature to continue through to the end, see things through to the end.
When you stop to think about, I know there's a lot of, you know, you've got to keep the lights on in offices and stuff and everything all around it and stuff. You think about how expensive publishing a book is, like nuts and bolts. Like, I know you got to get the books to wherever they need to be, but actually making the thing itself a book, comparative to everything else, it's probably quite cheap, isn't it?
Yeah,
do you know what I
mean?
Compared to, you're not digging like rare metals out of the earth. You're not putting them together in some unlovable Chinese sweatshop. You are literally getting a bit of paper on a roll, printing it, and putting it together. And in the grand scheme of expensive things that we buy, surely the profit margins on books, if you've got 1,000 books you're releasing every year, must be fucking huge for a big publisher. Huge.
So I think that's right, and I think what happens
even
is,
with the small amount of books that are being sold nowadays. I mean,
yeah, but that's the point, isn't it? I think there's no room for any kind of small publisher now.
Right. Okay.
So it's almost been consolidated. It's the same in the music industry, right? I mean, who gets punished and hit really hard by what's happened in the music industry? Well, ultimately, it's the smaller companies, because they've not got the power to influence it or to swallow it or to deal with it. So I think it becomes very homogenized because of that situation, I think.
Do you not think that? I mean, obviously, you know, I think back in the day, probably about like 7 years ago, people who used to release books on, you know, that like Unbound and stuff, where they'd be self-published. I think self-publishing has become less of a tainted sort of thing to do. Would that be fair to say? Because I know, like, I mean, look at the grey lady,
E.L. James. Shades
of Grey. That was all self-published kind of slash.
To start with, it was.
Yeah,
fan fiction, I think.
Yeah, so I think a lot of that, people are willing to kind of read, unpublished authors, I think it's fair to say.
I don't know where you've got that from.
What do you mean?
I've never once read a self-published book that I know of.
Well, I mean, you're missing
apart
out.
Apart from that geezer who self-published a podcast book, which I read for a bit for a laugh.
Was it filled with loads of nuggets of information? Is that how we made Stack such a roaring success?
To me, it read like the workings and daubings of a bullshitting maniac. Does that help?
It's nice to see it written down.
Trust me, it takes one to know one.
I think about writing and stuff. Like every month, and sometimes it slips to the next month, but Mark Haynes from WrestleMe writes a little newsletter.
It wasn't Mark Haynes.
He wasn't Mark Haynes. No. He's a brilliant writer.
He
could actually read his. He wrote something like 35,000 words.
I know.
In the December newsletter.
I tried to tell him the last one he did. I said, "You waste. This is great, and I'm benefiting directly from this, but this is a waste of your time." And he was like, "No, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it."
He does really enjoy it. It's really good. He docks me. He showed somebody back in the 70s, I think, would keep wrestlers in the 59 Old Compton Street, which is obviously next to 61 Old Compton Street, which is where I used to live. They had wrestlers staying, and Mark sort of said, "Oh, Peter Maiva might have been sleeping, his head might have been sleeping really close to Peter's head, if indeed it wasn't separated by 25 years.
It's not a doxing, is it, if you haven't lived there for 5 years?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, never mind.
Well, Elon wouldn't agree, though. Elon would be fuming.
Listen, before we move on,
how are you going to take down this prime drink?
Oh, yeah. One easy step. Well, two easy steps. I'm going to start drinking it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make all of the men of my vintage start to drink it. If you are a dad of any age, get yourself a couple bottles of Prime. They can be the empties from your kids. Just make sure you're walking around with a bottle of Prime in your hand, swigging from it, going, this is delicious.
Send some to Piers Morgan.
Yeah, just anybody who kids would think were uncool, just get them fucking drinking Prime. And we can nip this one in the bud. And as a dad or a mum, you're not going to be on the hook for £6 a pop. All right?
Hey, let's make it
so
very
just
clear.
Just fucking drink it.
No mum is getting involved in this.
No, I know mum. Yeah, and that's why I started with the word dad.
And that's why women
dads
are happier.
Are idiots.
Yeah. That's because they could go through their life. It happens to with the wife I've got access to all the time. I'll walk into the living room after
have you heard
work.
This? And they go, no, I don't care.
Yeah,
like, oh,
that happens so
your
often.
Your life is so much better than mine.
The other week I said to her, what about this Andrew Tate stuff? She was like, who? I was like, that is, part of me wanted to go, how do you not know? And then I was just like, great, that is great.
Yeah.
You don't need to know. You don't need to fucking, I'll shoulder this burden for all of us.
Oh, did you say you got caught with a pizza? She goes, well, my partner is across stuff. She goes, well, actually, it wasn't technically because of the pizza, because he only said he was in. Stop spoiling the cool thing.
Yeah.
Stop
spoiling
it. You
demand a narrative here. A simple narrative that we can understand. Peter, and I'm also, one of the New Year's resolutions I've got is I get quite a lot of tweets from people saying, oh, Luca Pizzo, I love it. I love it, all the rest of it. It's great fun. Never know what's going to talk about next. But you guys never follow through on the things you say you're going to talk about. So, that is true. I'm not particularly bothered about that. But just because it's front of mind at the moment. You did say
seems
on Thursday.
It's a weird thing to get upset about
I think
point
so.
Of the day.
I think so. But at the same time, you know, there's Andrew Tate out there and all sorts. On Thursday's show, you did say you had a film that you saw that you wanted to talk about. So I'd like to know what that is.
White Noise. It's the film White Noise,
never heard of it.
Comedy drama directed by Noah Baumbach. It's on Netflix now, and it gets 10 thumbs up from me. Adam Driver, Greta Gerwig, and Don Cheadle, and it is fucking brilliant. It's about a man who's an expert in Hitler studies, inexplicably, in a college in Ohio. He secretly doesn't speak any German.
Right.
And there is a massive... basically, it follows the life of an academic and his family, Adam Driver and Gerwig and Co. And then suddenly an air contamination accident occurs nearby where they reside. I'm reading this off of Wikipedia. And it is fucking brilliant. The script... I've never watched a single Noah Baumbach film before, so I'd very much like someone to let me know which film I should start with, because it is fucking brilliant. That to be able to squeeze in such heavy, dense dialogue into... quite a silly little a story. It's just wonderful. I don't know where it all sits compared to the book. I don't know how much of Noah Baumbach's input is on the actual dialogue itself, but it's fucking brilliant. It looks like it's received mixed reviews, but I think it's fucking brilliant. I think it's wonderful.
So I don't think I've ever seen any of Noah Baumbach's movies, but we were, you know, we were engaged in that project with Peter Bogdanovich.
Yes.
Who sadly passed away. But Noah Baumbach was involved in that. So was Greta Gerwig. But I never met any of them, and I've never seen any of their movies. I know that I think Baumbach is involved in the new Barbie movie, I think. And I think he also co-wrote, maybe, or co-directed The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, that Wes Anderson movie.
Right, okay.
So he's a very Wes Anderson type. But the thing is, I know the type of films you like, and I know exactly what this film will be like. And I'm not saying it's bad, but it'll be whimsical, it'll have some kind of indie soundtrack, there'll be a quirky but really attractive girl who's made to look not attractive, even though she is really attractive. That kind of stuff will happen, won't it?
Well, that bit doesn't happen. There's a new LCD sound system song in it, though.
There you go. Your favourite film, I'll tell you something now, even if you haven't seen it, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but your favourite film is Adventureland.
Which one's Adventureland? I don't like that. I'm not bothered.
You love all that stuff.
I love all that stuff.
Whereas I will only exclusively watch films about the Vietnam War.
You like westerns, don't you?
I like
love a western.
Yeah.
Because the men were men.
Yeah.
And they say how they feel, don't they?
Because you know, it's like I will watch, say, Platoon, where the men are men.
Yeah.
And I will go, in my mind, I'll go, I could be pals with them.
I can get on with them.
Yeah.
Talk about munitions and stuff.
That lot don't understand us. They don't understand what we're really like, how hard it is for us.
Oh, lordy.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Peter, let's take a quick break. Yeah. When we come back, I've got a couple of things I want to run the rule over with you. One of which is a really odd situation I've had with the online shopping portal for homeware and furniture, Wayfair. Worth sticking around for.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that presumably gigantic advertorial
break. What was your favourite advert then, Pete?
Oh, like the one about the burgers. Harris Burger, mate.
Yeah.
You'll be dead soon. McDonald's. get in your fucking mouth, fatty. You'll be dead soon. McDonald's.
Ba-da,
the way you want to be.
Don't do that because they sponsor us sometimes. They send burgers
in. Eat five of them, cunt.
Can you just do that again, but with Burger King? Because McDonald's do actually give us money.
Thanks, Burger King.
Burger King have never given us a fucking penny.
I've moved on to a new order on Burger King, actually. On McDonald's, actually. I've moved to the double cheeseburger.
Good choice.
Just solid, bloody good burger.
I'll tell you the one tip I've got for
Well done, McDonald's. Get in your mouth.
Those of you who want to enjoy McDonald's more, free your mind from the idea that you can only have one portion of fries. Fries are really good.
Yeah.
People in their mind, they'll go, I can have a small, I can have a medium, or I can have a large. And that's all I can have. I'm here to tell you you're wrong.
Do they still do the smalls in paper rather than cardboard?
I believe so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can even get away with just having a big and a small.
Yeah.
An extra large and a small.
But people don't think that way.
That way.
And they should.
When you're eating two portions of chips in a lay-by,
they're fries.
You're nodding your head going, yeah.
I've got the fucking Churchill dog, mate.
I'm living life, mate.
Yeah.
I'm living life.
You won't just go to the pub and have one beer, would you?
No. Well, unless you're driving, I suppose. Yeah.
If I'm driving, I can't bother with it. I just figure it's pointless.
It's a pain in the bum because like there's no way of figuring it out. Unless, I guess, you've got a blowy machine. Sorry,
careful.
That steady. Yeah, I like because you're allowed. I think you're allowed. I think you're technically allowed, like, cracking on for two, but it got to be very weak lagers. But who's measuring that?
Why are we talking? Why are you talking in this way? Why are you doing this?
I think you can have
cracking. We cross over now live to Pete Donaldson of his advice on drink driving. I think you'll probably have two weak ones, but I mean, who's measuring that? You know, I mean,
and it's all to do with like how big you are and stuff. Just give us a number. Say one Stella, half a fucking cider. Just tell us one drink, and then we'll have one of them, and then you can't shout.
I
at
haven't
us.
Got time for the units. I don't fucking get it.
Oh, apparently you lose a unit every hour. You lose a unit every hour. Fucking give me the. Tell me how many Stellas I'm allowed.
Which is why, in summary, I don't drink at all when I go driving.
Do you get a Fiat 500 reduction? I'm not killing anyone. I'm killing myself, if anything.
This car is...
rubbish.
Excuse me, officer. This car is dreadful. It can't go anywhere.
It's a good car. Yeah. It's not going to blow up. It's not going to blow up anybody else. It's not going to hurt anyone else.
Go on,
I could run
go.
This, in,
have a go
I could
in
run this into the front of a fucking McDonald's and I wouldn't hurt anyone.
It's like the old dad joke, isn't it, where the policeman pulled me over the other day. Said, have you had anything to drink? I said, no. He said, can you blow into this, please? I said, why? He said, because my chips are hot. Anyway, Wayfair. Let me do good. Wayfair.
Okay,
so,
fine.
Have you heard of the company Wayfair?
Yes. Have I bought something on Wayfair? Yes, I think I have. Wayfair. I'm typing it in.
So think of that little bald fella, Dominic Littlewood, who does the old consumer stuff. Right.
Yeah, okay.
And I've given Wayfair a chance to atone for this, and they've refused to. So, again, they're going to get both barrels on this show from me.
Right,
and they're going to wear this, and it's on them. I've got no guilty conscience about this whatsoever. Right? Before Christmas, we spoke to a member of our family who shall remain nameless because they're an innocent party in this.
Right, okay.
And
they said, I demand a pineapple, a gold pineapple.
Yeah, they said a lot of that kind of stuff. In. Yeah, they kind of like that kind of stuff. Basically, for those of you who don't know what Wayfair is, imagine if you couldn't afford to shop in John Lewis, right?
Okay, right, yeah.
And
so it's not a big stretch in January, to be honest.
No, and so they said, we've just moved into a new place. We don't have much staff. We have guests. We don't have much room, but we have people visiting. We'd like an airbed. Right, fine.
Nice,
whatever would you like, this one. Great. Found the airbed.
What air would you like in it?
Quite a nice one. Choose your own air. I'm not getting involved
in
that. Yeah, yeah. And so we bought the airbed, right? We got the airbed delivered by Wayfair to our house, right? And then we got an email from Wayfair saying, oh, we're sorry, the airbed you ordered is out of stock. Would you like to choose something else or you can have a refund? And if we don't hear from you, we'll refund you. And we were like, that's weird. Like, because we've got it literally sitting in our house being wrapped up, ready to give us a gift. So I don't really understand why that's happened. It's probably an automated email of a Christmas, like a mistake or whatever. So we just ignored it.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, the money, a few days later or whatever, went back into the Wi-Fi I have access to's account, right? They've made an error there. That's on them.
Yeah.
We didn't choose that. They just did that, right? This is when it gets weird, right? Check this out. Bear in mind, this is a big company, right?
Yeah.
They've got a lot of fucking business, a lot of staff, and you'd imagine it would be... I just think this is mad, mad behaviour. They send an email to the Wi-Fi I have access to saying... we made a mistake giving you a refund for that item, so we're going to send someone around to get it.
What? So they send someone around to pick up the item?
So check it out, right?
Just charge the card again, no?
I don't know if they can. Anyway, so they sent an email saying that, oh, we're going to send someone from UPS to come and get this item, by which time it was like the 3rd of January. Right? And we were like, my wife replied saying, well, good luck with that. We gave it away as a Christmas present, so... what do you want us to do? And they didn't reply. And then this morning, someone knocks on the door, and it's a UPS guy. I'm here to get a package from Wayfair. I was like, well, I haven't got it. We gave it away for Christmas. And he was like, what? I told him.
Because
and he went,
all
right. It's fucking mad. It's just absolute deviant behaviour from them.
So hang on, you bought an airbed.
It's hard to explain, but that's the best I can do.
You bought an airbed. To give to someone a present.
Correct.
You gave it to someone a present.
Yeah.
You thought that transaction was over.
Yeah.
They refunded the money for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
And now they're at the door trying to get the airbed instead of just billing you for it.
Or just take it on the chin.
Well, I don't think they necessarily take it on the chin, but I think it's just a bizarre... would they not get in contact and go, hey, buy that money.
Yeah.
Give me that fucking money. Yeah,
I think if they've gotten, if A, they hadn't been dickheads about it, and B, they called up and said, "Do you mind just paying for that item? It's a bit of an admin error." We'd probably just said, "Yeah, we'll pay for it, no problem. We wanted to pay for it in the first place. We understood the price. We were happy to pay for it." But it's just very odd, because the thing I don't get about it is, even if they've made that mistake, say, given all the customers they had at Christmas, even if they made that mistake, say, only 10 times in total, think of the cost of having to send all these UPS people out to go and get everything back from all over the country. It doesn't make any sense.
I always sort of think, whenever you get something sent from China, and there's something, or even quite a lot of the big box stores, like if you get something mail order and it arrives and it's quite heavy, and you go, right, there's something wrong with this, it's broken or whatever, they will try and sort of go, look, we'll give you like 40% refund.
Right.
But just keep all of it, because it's financially not worth them getting the aforementioned UPS driver to drive over there, pick up the heavy item, because that costs money, because it's big, it's bulky, it's heavy, and take it back. So if you're ever in a situation where something's not quite right, but you could probably live with it, give them a ring. Give them a ring and go, hey, it's broken. Can you come and pick it up? And they go, oh, please don't make us pick it up.
Yeah, I don't
know
how they can be bothered to do it. Like, they're a massive company. Like, you would just, I disagree with you. I would have said, oh, forget it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but that's not how business works. And I'm fairly certain you're in breach of some kind of code. Because, I mean, they've given you something, they refunded you in error, and you've got their money, baby.
Yeah, so my wife, who's in the other room, who can hear me, just said, it's even worse than that. They never even sent an email saying it was out of stock and would we like to choose something else. They just sent an email saying the order was cancelled and we were being refunded after we received it.
Oh, that's a pain, because you could actually say that there was some emotional
distress.
Distress there, because...
I'm
back on your side as well.
Don't need to know
I'm
that.
I'm back on your side. with the no stock thing.
Anyway, I think I'm going to making that boring. I'm going to move on from that. But if anyone else had a similar experience, I mean, I'd like the public to know, because at the same time, I don't want other people going through this stuff, Pete. I don't want people going through this fresh hell at Christmas time.
Right. Good point.
You know, it's an absolute disgrace.
I'm fairly certain the one it might have been Wayfair, maybe not thinking about it. I think it was something a bit more bougie, but we bought a big mirror. And it turned up and it was just the wrong mirror. But the wrong mirror that they sent was a better mirror, and to the tune of like 50 quid. So I was like, I'm getting a bolt and putting that right on the wall. So they try and take it off our wall, dickheads.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
They never noticed. What are you going to do? They never noticed.
I had a similar thing with, I'll tell you about the Enterprise Rent-A-Car thing. They've eventually given up the ghost. They sent me an email saying that we're no longer welcome as customers.
Oh really? I mean, this is like Fight Club, isn't it? It's like anyone could, like, people will do anything not to get punched in the face. So you can just be an absolute tour rag.
Andrew Tate spends all his time trying to tell people to escape the Matrix. Come see me. I'm swerving fees all over the place.
Escape the Matrix. I mean, yeah, he makes it quite hard for a lot of women to escape his actual physical matrix. Anyway, right, that is the end of the Luke and Pete Show. If you need any more consumer advice, please do get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll give you the full knowledge of our...
Can I make it very clear? It's me grinding an axe under the fig leaf of quote-unquote consumer advice.
Okay, fair dues. Yeah, and that axe will be returned eventually.
Yeah.
But it'll be a right shit state. And they won't want it back. It won't even be able to get into B grade stock, to be quite frank.
Yeah. So we'll be back on Thursday for more of this. We'll do some batteries. We'll probably try and get through an email or two if we can as well, because I haven't done those for a while. I understand it's frustrating when we ask for them and you send them and we don't read them, but they tend to be timeless, so we'll get to them when we can. Do not fear, do not lose faith. We will get there when we can. Peter, anything more from you before we sign off?
Anything from me? I can't remember.
See you
later. I think we're done. We'll be back on Thursday. Ta-ta.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.